Thank you. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on in the program, Scott Daly from Film People Radio is going to be here. We'll talk about sports films because of the big game coming up on Sunday. We've also got Cord and Fatboy from Nights on KUFO are going to be here. I don't know. All right. Here's what just happened. Sarah was out of the room. We came back from a break, and so engineer Jeff McGinley stepped behind the board and began punching buttons, I think at random. There you go. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for helping.
Thank you, Jeff McGinley. All right.
Oh,
now he's out of the huff. Now you're in here. Rick, no matter what this email says, Art Alexakis can do no wrong.
Oh,
I think I wonder if it's ironic.
Jeff back in here.
Really?
Yes.
Here's the thing. I meant to get some. If I ask Scotty, if I say for Scotty to come in, it's going to take 40 seconds.
I'll go get him and Jeff.
Really? Because my only other alternative is to play the popcorn bed while I wait for Scotty to arrive, and that's no good. Because I'm not even sure that I have that anymore. I'm not sure that I ever even found the popcorn bed. Wait, hold on. Let me look. Do I have it? Do I have the popcorn bed? No? Wait, hold on. No? Just a second. Wait, hold on.
I have a Scotty and a Jeff.
Okay, but where the hell did my popcorn bed
go? You haven't found it in months.
I found it yesterday, and I've lost it again. I don't know where it went. Oh, for the love of sweet God Almighty. Scotty?
Yes, sir.
Hi there. Scotty J. Yeah, this is a guest mic.
Everybody gets a microphone.
Whoa. I'm telling you, we're in a studio with multiple guest mics now. You know, I found the popcorn bed yesterday when I was looking for the James Brown sound. That James Brown noise. I found the popcorn bed, and now I've lost it again. And I know that this is gripping to everybody who's listening right now.
Yes, you're wasting time.
It's just one of those things that's going to bug me, and I got all these people calling about dental horror stories and so forth.
Okay, well, you just had me get Jeff and Scotty.
All right.
So let's stop obsessing.
You better get to the point, otherwise they'll push butt to
the
oldies station.
Bed.
Seriously. All right. Hey, Scotty?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for joining us in the studio today. I need you to get me some coffee.
Oh, that's why you wanted him?
That's why I wanted him in here.
Yeah!
All right.
Okay, I'm glad I brought my headphones.
All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Oh.
Two creams, please. It's 503-7332. Well, no, I was going to get it myself, but then we were back from a break. I didn't have any choice.
Oh, that's mean.
When have I ever made Scotty get me coffee?
You are right now.
Oh, yeah. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We're joined now by Jeff McGinley.
Yeah, why are you here?
Sir?
I'm fine.
We're putting you on the spot.
We want to know how many teeth you have.
Do you have your wisdom teeth?
Yes.
All right. So you have 32 teeth total?
I guess.
Okay. So here's an email I got just now. It said, Rick, Art Alexakis can do no wrong, says the subject line of this email.
Except not sending us a technical writer, so I have no idea how to set up for him today in studio.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
So what is he doing here?
He lives in Portland.
Yes.
He performs here every other day.
There you go.
And by here, backup band full of 22-year-olds?
By here, we mean in the studio, where I think he just sort of wanders here like...
You sent Scotty to get your coffee, and now he's not getting Ed McCarthy.
Six-string samurai style. So he's going to be... Is he performing here for some reason?
Hello?
Is there a reason that he's performing?
I don't know.
Maybe he's a motivational speaker.
Is this where he just comes when he has nothing else going on?
I guess so.
Okay.
It seems like he was just here a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it really does seem that way. So, I'm just saying that we have a long and tangled history with Art Alexakis from Everclear. Because Sarah, we can say this, right? Sarah at one point was like, you were a guest or a co-host or...
Was that I was program like a guest on Blackjack Radio.
He did some radio program at some point.
He was looking for a co-host, but I was... I guess I upstaged him too much. I was a little too... I had too much personality.
Yeah, you don't want to have that.
Yeah.
Can't
make him look bad.
Looking for a co-host. Is that code for something? Was he looking for a...
looking for a special friend.
all right. So we had this an intern at one time, though, who had this special hatred for Art Alexakis for no real reason. That's the thing. There was no reason for it. This guy named Kyle, who used to work on the show, and every time the name Art Alexakis would come up, it was like a sound effect or something being triggered in the background. We would say Art Alexakis, and then in the background, we would just hear Kyle like standing there just going, screw him! mom, and just like shouting in front of everybody. I never did find out why. He never did clarify why he disliked him so much. But apparently the word, however these things happen, the word apparently trickled from one person to another that our program had spoken in unflattering terms about Art Alexakis. And so then you fast forward about 3 months or so, Sarah and I are sitting on Hawthorne Street. We're sitting outside the Bowers Bakery Deli, which I cannot recommend heartily enough, by the way. A fantastic bakery with great homemade goods and sandwiches, and there's some hot sisters who work there. So anyway, so Sarah and I are sitting outside, and we're sitting at the table, and she's having a bagel, and I'm having whatever. And then this guy, sort of with, like, thatchy blonde hair and sort of a beaten look on his face, sort of starts walking down the street. And I look up, and I, you know, I kind of go, there's that guy. And then Sarah and I go back to talking, and I look up again, and it's a guy slowly walking toward us on the sidewalk. And I look at my friend, and I go, I think that's Art Alexakis walking this way. And she kind of, you know, she does that thing where she waits the appropriate 3-beat, like 1, 2... Does the big stretchy yawn, turns around. By God, that is Art Alexakis walking toward us. And so she kind of says, oh, yeah, it is. Okay, well, let's just don't make eye contact. Let's just continue to have our conversation. So we walk, Art Alexakis, and this is after the whole unpleasantness involving him on the air, because he had also, Art had, how do I put this? Art had, we had heard from a mutual friend, or there had been someone we know. There was someone close to the Rick Emerson program who had the...
Why don't we continue this in a little bit? I can see this taking a little while in Ed McCarthy.
Well, I'll finish it. I got to finish it. But I'll finish it quickly. I'm just going to say, so there have been some unpleasantness. So he walks by us once, and Sarah and I are just sort of, okay, don't look at each other. You know, just look at the bagel. Just keep your eyes on the table. He walks by, and then we continue our lunch. And I swear to God, about 3 minutes later, he walked by again the same direction, meaning he had just circled the block. He hadn't turned around and come back, hadn't crossed the street. He'd walked by us, circled the block, and had come back again. And we're like, okay, well, this is too weird. Screw this. So we finish our lunch. We pay our bill. We get up, and we walk inside. We see him coming around the block again a third time, and we're like, okay, well, we're going to hide. So we duck into
Hollywood Video.
We duck into Hollywood Video just so Art can't find us, right? Because, like, well, that's weird. He's coming by the third time in, like, 9 minutes. We duck inside the Hollywood Video, and we're standing inside sort of looking up through the tinted windows, and I swear to God, he walks by. He looks, and he sees us behind the tinted windows inside the Hollywood Video. He turns, just stands, you know, walks into their parking lot, and then just stands outside the window and just stares at us for a while. And then we're just sort of, oh, look, Yanni, live at Red Rocks, you know, and we just find a way to walk in the street. And then eventually he left. But that's it, man. He's just the weirdest thing. I mean, I would think that his day planner would be a little more full than that, but apparently not. So, anyway.
And he's still a diva.
And we're so I wanted to make sure that things hadn't changed, that he still was making unreasonable requests and demands.
I mean, can you talk about it? I mean, what is he doing here?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
Do you want me to, I can get Jim from the Marconi show, and Jim might show up.
You just know that he's being difficult while doing it.
Oh, come on. I can't. I can't really go into this. I got to face the guy later.
Okay.
He doesn't listen.
Seriously?
Come on now.
You talk to that guy and he just hears a whole lot of...
He's staring at a radio somewhere, seething right now.
Yeah.
Staring very hard.
No, he's planning his comeback.
Bam! We'll go out on that joke. Thank you, sir. Jeff McGinley.
Thanks, Jeff.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the South, the Deep South today, because you're actually, where? You're in Florida, right? You're actually in Miami, seeing a radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy. Hello.
Hey, Miami Beach, Rick. It's a little noisy here. I'm having a little trouble hearing you. I even got headphones on here.
That's okay. So are you looking for, how far away from me? We're like 48 hours away from the Super Bowl, something like that?
Yep, we're here for the Super Bowl Sunday, and we got down here Wednesday night. We were going to have an ice storm in Atlanta, so I flew out just a tad earlier. I was supposed to take a morning flight, so down here at the Miami Beach Convention Center, and I don't know if you ever watch the NFL Network, but I'm sitting at that table right behind them, so I don't know, every once in a while I get a camera shot of the Edster here, and all set up with the equipment. It's been a who's who of sports figures. Even Andy Rooney was here today.
Really?
I got a chance to see him, and I said, "Ever wonder why? Ever wonder why?"
Do you have a
to a Super Bowl game?
Do you have a prediction for the Super Bowl, Ed McCarthy?
Yeah, he likes it. He said, "They told me Chicago. He thinks is going to win." And
can't hear me.
So what kind of a game do you think it's going to be? And he says, "Well, if I didn't think it was a good game, I wouldn't come."
Fantastic. Do you, Ed McCarthy, have a prediction for the Super Bowl?
You know, I don't. It's really funny because I'm really looking at this as a real close game, and I think it's a toss-up. But the buzz around here, if you listen to everybody talk, they're all saying the Colts are going to win it.
All right.
I mean, but you know, what do people know? You never know what's going
to
happen.
I mean, I know for you, as it is for Jim Roop, this is basically just an opportunity to drink on someone else's dime, Ed.
Exactly.
Okay, Ed. I know you're busy. I know it's loud there. Enjoy the game. Enjoy your time in Miami. Travel safe. We will talk to you next week, my friend.
You betcha. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. There you go. Can't hear a thing we're saying. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy in Miami.
Well, I wish we had the NFL Network. I want to see what he looks like.
God bless him. The Edster. I've seen him. I've seen a picture of
I don't know if I want to. I think that I saw a picture of him in my mind.
Well, you know that picture of Jim Roop. Roop looks nothing like I thought. Mm-hmm. So, all right, there you go. Can we all just say how great the awkwardness on Jeff McGinley's face was just now as we were telling the Art Alex Zaka story? Well, again, it doesn't matter. Art Alex Zaka, he's famous and I'm not. You know, what does he care? Let's see. Well, here's what we got. Let me do these calls and then we'll revisit the Ministry of Truth. You're looking over my shoulder. Is there something happening?
Well, no, because he was saying a technical writer, which means he's playing. Then he must be playing on KFO, right?
Well, he's playing. I think they're setting him up in the studio because we should describe the setup in the new building here. So we are down here in what Marconi, I think, has nicknamed the DJ dungeon. I think that's what he called it. But we should say, by the way, that this is a great building. Not just this studio. This building is really cool. We are in a building, and I'd never been in here before.
The paper towel dispensers. You don't even have to touch them. They can read your mind that you want paper towels.
Has this happened to you but yet when you walk into the kitchen down
the
here
kitchen
where you
every time
you go to microwave a sandwich and the thing starts spitting paper towels out at you?
Yeah,
it's fantastic. I'm like, well, I'm here to heat up my hamburger, and paper towels just start falling onto the floor because it's
the way the Jetsons would have lived.
It's true. From the outside, this building looks minuscule. This building looks like a little shoebox because I used to walk by this building and wish death on everyone inside of it when I worked at Fisher. I would walk by like stupid CBS radio, you know, it's on my way to working for Fisher. Now that I'm here, it's the other way around. But this building looks like a shoebox. You come inside and there's this whole downstairs that is just fantastic. And the best part about it is that the electronic gating system in this building is set up so that salespeople are physically incapable of getting down here. Because there's like 14 different doors that you have to walk through. Every door requires a key card and none of the salespeople have access. The salespeople, they couldn't get down here if their lives depended on it. So it really is just a fantastic and glorious place. Right next to us, our studio is, you know, we're right here. In our room, right next door, we share a window with this production room that doubles as a performance lounge when musical acts come in. So yesterday, Zach Wilde and the Black Label Society, they were here, smelling fragrant, one might say.
Were they stinky?
No.
Were they walking through a garden?
No. Well, a garden of what, Tim?
Lilacs and petunias?
No. One of those things George Harrison used to talk about, those herbal jazz cigarettes. But you walk into that studio now, and I've got to say, because I think Art Alexakis is going to be performing. The best part is in about an hour, I think he's going to be here playing, so we'll actually be able to stare at him right through this window while
he's
performing.
You know what
performing.
I can do? I can bring up that room on the board.
Can you bring up that room
I can.
In here? Oh, that's fantastic.
My gosh, this is totally going to be one of those things.
We could be a fly on the wall.
We'll record his breakdown. Like, he'll just be screaming profanity and whatnot.
Someone should go in there and antagonize him while we're miking it. We should, because we have that room mic'd. You're right. In this building, any room can bring up any other room. Let's all remember that, by the way. Let's make a note to ourselves to not be that cautionary tale that we start dissing someone else when because we think that we're in a break or something and it's not being listened to. Let's all remember that anything in this room can be listened to by any other room in the building.
Oh.
So we could bring up probably if we wanted to art in that room while he's performing. We should get somebody to go in there and spill something I don't know. There's something we could do. That would be wrong. I'm just saying. And so then I guess he's performing at the Crystal, though. That's what somebody told me. Is that Everclear's playing at the Crystal Ballroom, I think, maybe tonight.
Yeah, I saw that promo shot you were talking about with him and the...
It's him.
It's weird.
Everclear, which used to be three guys, is now five guys, all of whom, except for him, are like 20 years old. It's kind
and
of
they
bizarre.
All look...
Yeah, it's kind of like Guns N' Roses when I saw them at the when I saw them. Okay, well, let's get a couple of these here, and then we'll revisit Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Dave, hello, sir.
Hey. What are you banging on my pal Art for?
I'm sorry?
What are you banging on my friend Art for? I knew him back in the day, and, you know, as long as you didn't have anything important going on, you could count on him for
things, for stuff.
That's not why I called. The reason I called is, what are you smoking and where can I get some?
Why do you say, sir?
Because you're just more of a kvetching, caffeinated tool than ever today. Is it just the fact that you've moved into the new studio and whatnot?
I like to think that the kvetching and the caffeination, those are some of my strong points. Also, it's the magical glory of having Tim Riley in the same room with us again. It's filled me with a renewed energy and vigor for life, sir.
Okay, well, one thing that I might, you know, go along with your cautionary tale about, you know, hammering on people that you don't even really know.
Yes?
Yes. Is it,
what?
Is it
hello?
Sure,
hello? I can't. Oh. Well, damn. Those technical glitches just keep coming back when you least expect them. Well, that's unfortunate. Weird. We'll get an engineer right on that. Let's talk to Jordan, who has a horrible dental story. Hello, Jordan.
How's it going?
Hi.
Sounds like Dave started his Super Bowl party a little bit early.
Seriously. I love the best one. What are you smoking? Perhaps Dave has just gone through all the smoke at his house. What's up?
Well, I just thought I wanted to add to the laundry list of happy dental stories.
Yes.
I had three root canals.
Three?
One was shortly after college, so about 10 years ago, and it was by far the worst. So.
What, is it just because all your teeth came in separately, or why would you have three?
I don't know what it is. I don't know. The dentist thought maybe it was due to stress, you know, just trying to wrap up school and get that all finished and do that kind of thing. I really don't know. I think it's just kind of a bad coincidence, I guess.
Yeah, seriously. I think God was punishing you for something.
It very well could be.
Yeah.
But the worst went from just normal to just terrible pain in the span of about 2 weeks. What that guy said earlier about, you know, next level type pain inside your head is definitely true. You can't even think straight. But what was bad is that I was actually all the way unconscious, and it was so messy that I had to come back a second time for them to clean
messy.
Up.
Messy. That's something you don't want to hear your dental procedure described as, is messy or chunky. Yeah.
Exactly. When I got there, you know, it was actually an oral surgeon. I said, you know, so why is it that I had to come back a second time? He said, well, you know, there's a lot of pressure built up in your tooth because obviously there's not a whole lot of room for that infected material to go. So anyway, when they actually tapped through the top of the tooth, there was so much pressure.
No.
I kid you not, dude. I kid you not. Certain materials actually launched out of my mouth.
Oh, my God.
Over the chair, covered about 2 feet in air, mind you, and hit him in the side of the shoulder and the chest.
Okay, but now I have to know. Sarah's actually... Oh, wait, hold on. Sarah is plugging her ears. Tim has taken his headphones off.
I can't say that I blame him, dude. I've lived it. I have terrible sympathy for people with tooth pain. It is the worst of the worst.
I don't have to see it, Daddy. I lived it. Okay, now, hold on. So the pressure had backed up. He taps into your tooth, sort of like J.R. Ewing tapping a new oil well in Dallas. Okay, but when you say materials, you just mean it's just like blood, right?
Hey, it's blood and pus and
pus.
It's like necrotic tissue.
Necrotic tissue.
Dude, no, I seriously, they actually capped, when they were done with it, they actually capped the tooth so I could go on eating and doing whatever, and I came back about a week later. When they actually drilled through that temporary tap, you could, how do I put this kindly, you could smell. Honest to God, I kid you not, you could smell what had been going
on. You could smell what your tooth was cooking.
For the previous 3 weeks or a month or whatever been going on.
It sounds like you just had a family of hobo spiders living inside one of your teeth, sir. That's what it sounds like to me.
Oh, man. And, you know, it's been like 8 years root canal free, thank God. It is the worst, one of the worst experiences I've ever gone through. I have terrible sympathy for anybody who's gone through
something. Yeah. I have sympathy for us for listening to this call all the way through. No offense.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I do what I can on Friday.
I think we... Thank you. Just to send us out on an up. I think we may bring the curtain down on the dental stories. I think we may have hit rock bottom, as it were.
Well, I appreciate that. Very kind of you.
Congratulations to you, sir. You've set the bar. You've created a new low for us, and we thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Jordan. Thank you. Thank you. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I'll tell you what, sir. I'm going to play this this George Bush thing, and then we'll take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour. How do you feel about that?
Sounds good.
All right, I'll tell you what. This is a little dated, so I apologize in advance. I know it's dated, but I wanted to get it played. This is the weekly radio address State of the Union version from our good friends at The Onion. So we'll play this. We'll come back with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Proof later on. Court and Fatboy are going to be here. Scotty J with a Suburban Perspective. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. It's the Rick Emerson radio program.
Go weekly away. Radio Address.com presents the 2007 State of the Union Address. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
House Speaker, Mr. Vice President, honored citizens, the state of our union is strong. I'd now like to outline my goals for my upcoming non-vacation days. Number one, find someone to come around to my way of thinking on this Iraq deal. That's it. Is that too much to ask? I'd appreciate a little support. I mean, sir, it's a long and tough process to victory a war, and sacrifices have been made, and it's going to be a lot more sacrifice, but we are winning. We are winning. I thank you, whoever that was who applauded. Yes, a lot of lives have been lost, but it's for a good cause, and that cause is staying in Iraq. Now, this week I boldly listened to all the advisors and the criticizers and the plan makers. I listened to all these experts. Then I disregarded all their advice and made a plan all by myself. And that plan is to surge the troops in Iraq. We're going to surge them. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Who was it?
That was me, sir. Back here.
Yeah, Vice President Cheney. Thank you. Thank you very much. You see, what they have in Iraq is the insurgents. And the only way to counter that is with a surgence. It's just common sense. So we're going to win. We're going to win. Thank you all for coming here tonight. God bless you all, and God bless the United States of America. All right, well, I'm done. I'm going to take my script and I'm going to step down from the podium. Thanks for listening. Guess I'm going to go home. Maybe turn in early. Good night. We'll see you around. It's going to be a good year. Thanks.
A public service of The Onion, brought to you by weeklyradioaddress.com.
Hammers, the radio program at 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. That's the epoxies, right?
It is. I met a guy in the epoxies last night. It was very exciting for me.
Excellent. Now
and he's a listener. Hi, Ryan.
And it's not a chick band. Is it? No. They got a girl who sings or something?
There's a front woman. I think, the rest of them are guys. So it's four guys and a girl.
All right. Here's what's coming up today. Later on, Court and Fatboy from KUFO. We're going to be here to pimp their midnight movie thing tonight and talk about, apparently, to receive lots of gushing fan calls about the George W. Bush boy president. Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio is going to be here. We'll talk about the sports films. And later on, we got Lycus and, of course, Donna Mike, et cetera, so on and so forth. But now, ladies and gentlemen, it's that glorious time once again, celebrating his 37th birthday this week, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
There's been a shooting. Northeast 138 and Northeast Sandy.
I'm stunned.
Police are with the victim as we speak. So you want to adopt one of those bunnies from the bunny lady?
More than anything.
Well, the judge has blocked those adoptions for now.
Oh.
Apparently, it's 150 rabbits were supposed to be available to Loving Homes this weekend. The judge says no, not for now. Apparently, the bunny owner is kind of putting an end to it.
Your children will cry themselves to sleep bunnyless once again.
There'll be no bunnies.
No bunnies for anyone.
Well, with a big game going on this weekend, it's time to stop in and talk to a registered dietitian of the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, damn it. Hold on a second. Oh, I was not. I was so busy looking for the popcorn bed that I never bothered to. Wait, hold on a second. The Cleveland Clinic with the... I'm sorry, Tim, where are these doctors from?
The Cleveland Clinic.
Trying to keep the weight down, cut back on the alcohol, 1 to 2 drinks, have a lot of water, and have a light, healthy meal before you go so you're feeling full.
Sure,
you're not going to overindulge at this party.
Right. Whatever you say.
You have no intention of doing that.
In no way. This is advice that everyone...
At least you're sober. Why not try a little workout?
At halftime, do something active. Go out for a walk. Something that's going to get your heart rate up for a little bit. A good 20, 30 minutes. That also helps decrease the appetite. Uh-huh. And you're also boosting up your metabolism to help ward off some of those extra pounds.
Yeah, you get right
on. Absolutely nobody's listening to that.
No. Just have a section called advice that no one will heed. Mm-hmm. All right, well done.
Well, tomorrow marks the day of the anniversary of the day of the music died when Buddy Holly and the rest went down in a blazing inferno. We have the...
I don't think they went down in a blazing inferno. You're thinking of... That's Rick Nelson.
Oh.
You're thinking of Rick Nelson.
Well, this is the day the music died. Well, here's the audio from the first news bulletin announcing it back in 1959. Listen.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin. Three young singers who soared to the heights of show business on the current rock and roll craze were killed today in the crash of a light plane in an Iowa snow flurry. The singers were identified as Ritchie Valens, 17, Buddy Holly, 22, and J.B. Richardson, known professionally as the Big Bopper. The aircraft chartered from the Dwyer Flying Service crashed near Mason City, ironically the setting for the prominent musical The Music Man. The pilot, Roger Peterson of Clear Lake, Iowa, was also killed. The three singers had appeared at the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa last night, and were on the way to Fargo, North Dakota. Their small chartered plane crashed in a lonely farmyard about 15 miles northwest of Mason City. Cause of the crash was due to inclement weather conditions. Details upcoming from Action Central News.
Okay, that's fantastic in about 100 different ways.
That's amazing, Tim. I can't believe you filmed that.
Where did you get that?
It's my job, you know.
That's what Tim Riley does.
I dig a little bit deeper than most.
That's what Tim... Tim, that is why when you are not here, the show can only ever merely be good. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how...
Others just reread the stories or in the Oregonian. I couldn't do that. I couldn't sleep nights knowing that I did that to you.
God bless you, Tim Riley. We're going to thank you, but we're going to show you how much we love you by not hugging you all day long.
Thank you. I certainly appreciate that.
That is great. First of all, that guy, you just don't hear news like that anymore.
No?
And that he's actually got the little teletype sounder going into the background, and it's from Action News, which is golden. And Ritchie Valens is only 17.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I guess, do you remember those people that chronologically are younger than you, but because they lived before you, you always just... You know what I mean? They always seem older. Like Buddy Holly was 22. What were we doing when we were 22? Sarah? Well, you
I
were
was
here.
Working, yeah.
Do you feel like a loser now? What was I doing when I was 22? I was living in Salt Lake City. No, was I even the... Yeah, I guess I was.
Was
I
that
guess
when you were living with one of your girlfriends who ends in an IE? Like a Debbie or a Pammy?
Brandy. When I was 22, God, what year was I born? When I was 22, I had just moved to Salt Lake City, and I was beginning a series of tedious radio broadcasts there. Tim, when you were 22?
I was working in radio in Manchester, New Hampshire.
See, and Buddy Holly was already dead. Buddy Holly had already revolutionized rock and roll and had died and had flown off to his destiny on that storm-tossed night. Freaking Richie Valens is only 17, though.
Yeah.
God, I don't understand. It really is amazing. I don't understand how all rock stars don't just die early. I mean, I know how just insane and crazy and out of control I still was, like, up to, like, last week. I can't even imagine you just giving me fame and fortune when I was 17. I'd be dead. That must be why they die. I mean, that really must be it. That's why the rock stars all die at such a young age, because I can't. It's like giving. It's like giving whiskey and keys to a really, really strong 5-year-old. It just doesn't.
There's somebody from Gresham.
Yeah, I mean, well, God.
Then we talked to Peggy Sue, who writes about Buddy Holly in a new book.
Buddy would come over and play in assemblies at Lubbock High, and that's how I met him, because he just ran me over with a guitar and an amp.
All right. 503-733-2970. By the way, Scotty J. Scott Daly apparently is here, so if you can go fetch. The thing about this building is you no longer just walk in the front door and they're right out of the studio. You have to come down to this. We're in this layer down. We are in a subterranean section of the building. So apparently Scott Daly.
People questioned appropriately.
He is in the.
Before they're granted entrance.
That's the great thing, by the way. Somebody stopped by to see me yesterday, and apparently Dave Zinn, who is the gatekeeper here at First Avenue, some guy came in to, like, drop off something, and Dave Zinn's like, do you have an appointment to see Mr. Emerson, which is fantastic. I mean, I just like the idea that somebody called me Mr. Emerson and asked a listener if they had an appointment to see me, which is, I've never.
He's really very friendly and congenial.
Dave Zinn, he's friendly and congenial to you because you work here. To all interlopers from the outside, he's an iron gate through whom none shall pass.
As it should be.
He's like the mouth of Sauron. He just is that guy that comes out and Sauron does not acknowledge. It's 503-733-2970. So the day the music died and blah, 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 blah. And by the way, we will not be playing American Pie today. Well, we've got another Jesse still to clear up here. We'll get to him in a second. This is Wilton. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Yeah, why? Hello there.
Wilton. Israel.
6. Okay, gone. You lose your place in line. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. The thing is, at this
Jason.
Point...
Israel.
John. Barry. There's a fire in the barn. At this point, I have no idea whether they're actually just not there.
Or they're just messing with you?
Or whether they're messing with me, or whether they're there and the phone just isn't working.
There is no there.
Okay. Let's try another one. Paul.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, first off, I'd like to wish...
Tim.
Newsman, yeah. All right. I'm trying to do 8 things at once here. Newsman Tim, happy birthday. And he doesn't look a day over 35.
Why, thank you. All right, thank you. What's up, Paul?
That makes me feel even better.
Well, you said you weren't taking any more dental stories, but as a small child, I had teeth pulled for my braces. So they could move my other teeth around.
That's
have room.
That's the worst of all worlds, by the way. My brother had the same thing where it's like there's not enough room, and they had to actually pull a whole bunch of teeth, I think, before they could even give him braces. Yeah.
Yeah, 4 molars. And I was eating popcorn when I gaps in my teeth, and unbeknownst to me, I had a kernel of popcorn fall in one of the holes.
Oh. And then did they seal it up?
Well, yeah, the skin grew over.
Oh, this is so
long. And like 3 weeks later, I had this huge lump on the side of my face when I woke up one morning, and I couldn't figure out what it was. My mom said I had
to take off my headphones at this point.
Tim
can no longer listen.
Took a scalpel and cut the skin open. It was kind of like that other guy, only it didn't squirt. It just oozed everywhere.
It oozed everywhere. Oh, that's fantastic.
He couldn't get tweezers on the kernel to get it out.
Oh, yeah, because the kernel, well, that's the great thing about the popcorn kernel is it's round and slippery, so you can't really grab that with tweezers.
No, it took him like an hour and a half of gouging and prying and digging and finally stabbed it with a pick and then got it out.
An hour and a half of gouging.
And then sewed me back up and gave me a bunch of Vicodin and a bunch of other stuff. Said, "Well, have a nice day.
Have a candy bar." An hour and a half of gouging. I want to have that as the tagline for some horrific indie film or something like Saw 4. It's an hour and a half of gouging.
Yeah. I've never had, you know, that's like the worst thing that's ever happened. I've never had any bad.
No, I mean, that's the thing is you don't fear death anymore. You don't fear the Grim Reaper or divorce or anything. You don't fear car accidents. You've had a guy gouging on your skin for an hour and a half before stabbing you with a pin to get out an infected popcorn kernel over which the skin had grown.
You know, I'm only 14 and my mom, you know, he goes, well, should we give him some... You want Novocaine or do you want nitrous oxide or what do you need? And my mom goes, oh, just give him a little Novocaine. He'll be fine.
Thanks, Mom. You know, he's a tough kid. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Actually, God bless you, Paul.
Okay.
You have a great day. There you go. Thank you. That's Paul. All right. Well, now we have to tell Sarah, during the break, was relating the story about, was it, not Everclear, was it, I've got Everclear in the brain. It's, Sugar Ray. Is it Sugar Ray that you met and your head was all bloated up like a balloon?
It was in their prime. It was the summer before my senior year of high school.
When that Fly song was out?
Yeah. It was right when that came out and we were at Bumbershoot and we ended up getting backstage and I met all of them and my face was just so swollen and awful. From my wisdom teeth. And everyone else has these happy stories about, it was kind of bruised for a week and then it went away. I had a pumpkin head for like 2 months. And it hurt.
Like, if you just with a huge balloon head and just don't touch my skin, it hurts. And that's the time when God decides to let you backstage with Mark McGrath.
I know.
You wonder if Mark McGrath was like, yeah, they had one of those girls with the water head backstage. She was all... I wonder if he thought you had cancer. Or you were Jerry Lewis. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. I just wondered.
It was amusing. It really hurts, but now it's funny.
Because here's what makes it funny. You all don't know this because you probably haven't been to Sarah's apartment. I mean, not while she's there anyway. You'd be amazed what a butter knife will get you into. But if you go to Sarah's apartment on your fridge, or at least back at your old place, the fridge, Sarah, has a bunch of photos of her from various times in her life, college, and whatever. And you, in your frame, you have that one picture of you with Billy Joe Armstrong. Is it at the Gorge? It looks like it's at the Gorge.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you get backstage at the Gorge?
I got ways. That was Warped Tour.
All right.
I've always been kind of lucky that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have some friends who were in some bands who got us on, and then also one time we were randomly picked out of a crowd, me and six of my friends, to serve food to all of the bands going through Warped Tour. So not only did I get to serve food to No Effects and Offspring and everybody, but then we got free backstage passes to go wherever we wanted.
Fantastic.
Yes, we got to hang out in the tent with all the band members.
So there's this
that
great
was that day.
So there's this picture of you backstage with Billy Joe Armstrong, and you looked a lot different because you have your hair is blonde for one thing, and it's really short. Or much shorter than it is now, anyway. And it's you and like a wife beater holding a bottle of water with his short blonde hair. And it's a great photo. Of course, the best thing is now, though, as you're telling this Mark McGrath story, in my head, I'm like swapping out that head with like a huge round, water head. Just like, backstage for, just looking, totally looking like you've just been jacked full of steroids. Like you just got out of a polio ward.
Special Olympics. So they're talking to you like super slow. How are you, young lady? It's so nice to see you. Do you like to color?
And it was so nice. These hot girls came backstage and they brought this retarded friend of theirs.
It's true, that is the only time those things happen.
It's true.
Your head's swollen.
It's true. I can only say it because you look normal in all your other photos. This is Jesse the Third. This is the third Jesse. Jesse the Third. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. Happy birthday, Tim.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hey, so maybe you can ask Art Aljakas to be the singer for my band.
Oh, is this Jesse from a Red Hot Pistol?
That's me.
All right, so here's what we should probably talk about this. I'm glad you called. Sarah and I had put this down on our list of things to get through today. So you called yesterday because you have this band, Red Hot Pistol, and you're looking for a singer. And I don't know, it's either a great idea or a terrible idea to do this sort of, I don't know, this kind of American Idol rock star supernova thing. But here's what I was thinking. I was thinking we would take the audio that your band has got, the instrumental tracks. We would either direct people to the MySpace page or we would put one of them on the Rick Emerson site. Let it be downloaded. We'd pick one song. We'd make it downloadable. And then the deal is people would compose... People would basically perform lyrics or singing or something over the top of it, and then they would send it back in, and then we would play the completed songs as they arrived, and then from those, maybe you might be able to find a singer.
Yeah, you know, that sounds like an awesome idea. And like, why I was calling today, I wanted to kind of elaborate, like, why I wanted your help finding a singer. I mean, we had a singer almost a year ago. We had shows lined up, and then he just kind of failed 2 weeks before our show we had booked at Dante's.
Right.
And we figured, how hard is it going to be to find a new singer? And the answer is, it's impossible. If people weren't flaking on auditions, they'd show up and smoke all our cigarettes, drink all our beer, and borrow money, you know? And, or we get people that just flat out suck.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, 9 months, and we've got no singer, and we're kind of losing momentum, and I really like this band, and, you know, I want to keep it going, but I've got the feeling that if we don't get a singer, we can't keep practicing every week without a singer,
right,
and really, you
now,
know,
do these
so
songs,
inevitably we'll break up, and I don't want that to happen.
Do these songs, these instrumental songs, do they have lyrics, or are these uncompleted songs?
Well, they were completed with the old singer, but like, all he wrote, were, you know, was lyrics and melody.
Right.
One of the songs, Love Ann, which is on the MySpace, that is has melody and lyrics to it, and I've kind of worked on some other stuff, but you know, if somebody is, you know, good at writing, that would be awesome too.
All right, so what we'll do, with your permission, why don't you drop me an email, pick out a song that you think is the most representative, and we'll make it downloadable, and we'll ask people to send in completed, like, we'll ask people basically to come up with lyrics or whatever that goes over the top. They'll send it to us, we'll play them, and maybe you find somebody there, maybe you don't.
Okay, and I'll also send you a version that one of the people that was auditioning sent. They downloaded it off MySpace and put a vocal track on it,
yeah,
and I think it's candidate for the worst song ever.
Oh, that's what I like to hear.
Awesome.
See, you know the way to Rick Emerson's heart. Thank you, sir.
All right, well, all right, I'll email it to you.
All right, thank you. There you go. That's Jesse. All right. Let's see. Rick, about your okay, I swear to God, we do have to stop this dental talk because it's just going to be... we've got this. Rick, after listening to all these horror stories, I just want to tell you I had a good experience recently. I had my upper wisdom teeth removed last month. My lower ones are sideways, but not visible above the... Why would your teeth come in sideways, but not visible above the gum line, so I get to keep those? Well, that's almost more disturbing, the idea that underneath the surface...
They're just resting underneath.
Seriously, I've got these weird sideways teeth. I had minimal pain. They gave me Vicodin, and now I'm back to normal. Make my day and write back to say hi. I am creepy.
You should write back.
Okay, hold on. This is from Deanna. Happy birthday, Tim. Hey, Deanna's wishing you a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Happy birthday to her, too. All right, hold on. Hi. You're kind of creepy.
Call you lover.
Send a hot picture. All right, there we go. And send a hot picture. Sarah loves you.
I love her.
You.
What's that? Facing.
I'm typing
back. What are you doing?
Rick. All right. Okay, fantastic. It's been sent. All right, it's 503. Okay, well, now I'm... But see, now I'm fascinated. And Joni has... She has confirmed here. She has 24 teeth.
Well, how many teeth do you have?
I have a regulation.
How can you not count them with your tongue?
My mouth is of regulation size. Because how can you tell when one tooth ends?
What's going on with your teeth?
Because some of us don't have big-ass gaps between our teeth that make it easy to count.
I have big gaps between my teeth?
I didn't say you. I'm saying if there are gaps between your teeth, then it makes it easy to know when one tooth ends and the other begins. I have no idea. Well, come count. Come tell me.
I don't want to go near your mouth.
Well, I can't count my own, and there's no... Here's the thing is, there's no mirror. Like, I don't have one of those dental mirrors that lets you, the weird bendy kind. All right. So I'm going to open my, all right, just use a pencil or something. All right.
Okay.
I can't see your tongue's in the way.
My tongue is between my teeth.
Go that way.
Seriously. With what?
Put your tongue that way.
But you need something extra to hold the tongue down, Rick.
You're 16 on the bottom.
All right.
16. I'll write that down.
Let's see. 17,
18, 19, 18, 20. 30, 31.
I think you only have 31 teeth.
31? Are you sure? So I've still got one wisdom tooth somewhere that's waiting to come in. All right.
I think you only have 31.
All right. Okay. There you go.
Thanks for letting me put a pencil in your mouth.
Not at all. Now I can sleep. All right. 503-733-2970. Let's see. What are we... okay. Let's see.
Rick, you're the weirdest person I know.
I want to know because it was bothering me. All right. Should we break here?
Oh, yeah.
Let's break. We'll break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, Court and Fatboy will join us from KUFO, and later on we have a Like Us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.